Well, we are here with Beth Seifert. She's our Bible study teacher, and you can find all the notes on our Bible studies tab, along with the podcasts. And we just highly encourage you to use the materials and have your own guided Bible studies. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Thanks, Amy. Well, if you remember, I said a couple of days ago that we were seeing the beginning of another contestation to David's throne, and today we're going to see further bits of that. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 2 Samuel. We'll be in chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. Now, there happened to be a worthless man whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjaminite. And he blew the trumpet and said, "We have no portion in David, and we have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel." So all the men of Israel withdrew from David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah followed their king steadfastly from the Jordan to Jerusalem. And David came to his house at Jerusalem, and the king took the 10 concubines whom he had left to care for the house, and he put them in a house under guard and provided for them, but did not go into them. So they were shut up until the day of their death, living as if in widowhood. Then the king said to Amasa, "Call the men of Judah together to me within 3 days, and be here yourself." So Amasa went to summon Judah, but he delayed beyond the set time that had been appointed to him. And David said to Abishai, "Now Sheba the son of Bichri will do us more harm than Absalom. Take your lord's servants and pursue him, lest he get himself to fortified cities and escape us." And there went out after him Joab's men and the Cherethites and the Pelethites and all the mighty men. They went out from Jerusalem to pursue Sheba the son of Bichri. When they were at the great stone that is in Gibeon, Amasa came to meet them. Now Joab was wearing a soldier's garment, and over it was a belt with a sword in its sheath fastened on his thigh. And as he went forward, his sword fell out. And Joab said to Amasa, "Is it well with you, my brother?" And Joab took Amasa by the beard with his right hand to kiss him. But Amasa did not observe the sword that was in Joab's hand. So Joab struck him with it in the stomach and spilled his entrails to the ground without striking a second blow, and he died. Then Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued Sheba, the son of Bichri. Don't you love the descriptive words used to describe Sheba at the beginning of this passage? A worthless man. You know it's going to be an interesting study when the passage starts with those words. Sheba was from Saul's tribe of Benjamin. It appears that, after Absalom's coup, Bichri wasn't satisfied that David should be king. Sheba's words here are making the claim that, since the tribes of Judah claim David as their king, that the tribes of Judah are proclaiming that the tribes of Israel have no part in David's kingdom. So, according to Sheba's twisted logic, the tribes of Israel should go on their own way, since they can assume that David won't take care of their needs as part of the nation. As Sheba refers to David as the son of Jesse, he is minimizing who David is and refusing to acknowledge David as king. Basically, Sheba is saying, "Those Judahites insulted us. We don't have to put up with that. Let's take our marbles and go home." Well, the men from Judah make sure that David gets home safely, and then David has some housekeeping to do. David deals with the concubines whom Absalom had taken to his bed on the roof of the palace and gets them out of the way, where they will be cared for and provided for, but also where they will be set apart because of their interaction with Absalom. Then David calls his new general to him, Amasa. David wants to deal with Sheba swiftly and decisively. Yet Amasa takes too long gathering the men, so David sends Abishai with a group of troops to go and deal with Sheba. We don't know whether Amasa had trouble gathering men to help or whether Amasa was negligent in his duties, but the result was the same. He took too long. Now, remember the family lineage here. Abishai and Joab are brothers. Amasa is their cousin. All three men are sons of David's sisters and are thus David's nephews. Remember, Amasa was made general of David's troops after Joab killed Absalom. Joab has fallen out of favor with David, and he continues to demonstrate his displeasure with Joab by choosing Abishai to go out and lead as second in command after Amasa. So Abishai and Joab end up getting ahead of Amasa, and they reach Gibeon before Amasa does. Joab is up to his old tricks again. Just as with Abner, he acts like he's greeting Amasa, and where it says he takes him by the beard, that means that he like put his hand on Amasa's face, almost in a caress, but in a greeting. And instead of greeting him, he stabs him to death. Again, Joab kills in cold blood, just as he killed Abner in cold blood, to secure his own position. Joab's envy over David's preference for anyone but Joab leads him to murder one more time. And then, without David's consent or knowledge, Joab assumes control of the army, and he and his brother pursue Sheba. Here's what strikes me about this scene with Joab. Joab goes to Amasa as if he were going to greet him with a kiss, that's the taking him by the beard, and then he kills him. With a gesture that was supposed to be a gesture of respect, love, and friendship, not to mention the fact that they were related to each other, he uses that to kill Amasa. Joab did the same thing to Abner. He went to Abner outside the city, took him in as if to speak privately with him, and killed him in public. Man, if I were alive back then, I would certainly watch Joab's hands whenever he came near me, even if he came near me with a smile on his face. Just because David had put someone else in charge of the army, that didn't stop Joab. He didn't obey. He didn't respect David's authority in this situation. And look at the trouble that is, again, brought to David's reign because of Joab. Again, I wonder why David didn't just execute him and be done with it. Yet over and over, David granted mercy to Joab, undeserved and unappreciated mercy. And yet, David didn't seem to learn this lesson. He continued to trust Joab, and Joab continued to serve his own interests. Here's the thing. We can't ever really know with 100% certainty that another person is a Christ follower. But we are called to examine the fruit of their lives in order to be able to encourage and rebuke and edify each other. If the fruit you see in those who are closest to you shows continual growth toward God and a life spent weeding out the idols in their hearts, you've probably surrounded yourself with good fruit. If their life is spent on their own pursuits and pleasures and God is an afterthought, or is only seen as someone who gives rules to follow, you should be concerned for them and for the influence that they may have over you. My thoughts for today? Surround yourself with fruits. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. Seriously, though, surround yourself with the people who are showing the fruit of their lives, those who you can see striving to be God's, who you can see the fruit of the Spirit in their lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit are just that, fruit from the Spirit of God. They are not of our own making or of our own doing. They're not a list you can cross off. They are an outpouring of the Spirit's work in our lives. Keep in mind, some fruit you may see in abundance, while other fruit you will watch grow. But if you don't see those fruit at all, be careful. Select from your fruits those to be your counselors, advisors, and friends. You may still occasionally get a seed or a sour bite because they are people and they will make mistakes. But if we are all seeking Him and if we surround ourselves with others who are seeking Him, then those sour bites that come won't be as sour as Joab's friendship was to David.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.